Meet the Bandits, a trio of University of Arkansas students who have dreamed up a way to make money not by laying in wait for unsuspecting travelers, but by recycling furniture left behind in college dorms. Their business plan was a finalist for a Northwest Arkansas Council recycling grant, and now the three are looking for a way to start up the business. We'll talk more about it today on the Know the News podcast. Hello, my name is Rusty Turner. I'm the editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and I'm host for the Know the News podcast. Our reporter, Doug Thompson, has a story coming out in our weekend edition about these self-proclaimed bandits and their very detailed proposal to solve the problem of abandoned but usable furniture in left in UA student housing. They plan to reclaim it and then sell it to newly arriving students. Doug is with me today, and he's going to talk about it. Hi, Doug.
How do you do?
Also with us today are a couple of the bandits, and luckily their identities are not secret. We have Stacy Lopez. Hi, Stacy.
Hey there.
Hey, and we also have James Jovicic. Hi, James.
Hi.
All right. And there's another member of your team who's not with us today. You guys want to mention her name?
Yeah, Jen No.
Okay, so Jen No. Sorry, Jen couldn't be with us today. And also joining us today is Dan Holtmeyer. He's the Recycling Program Manager for the Northwest Arkansas Council. Good to speak to you, Dan.
Yeah, good to be here.
All right. So, Doug, I want to start with you. How did you stumble onto this story?
I didn't stumble at all. Dan and the Northwest Arkansas Council hosted a competition for a grant for recycling proposals, and I went and covered it. The Northwest Arkansas Council, as you know, is a group of business and community leaders who solve regional problems and tackle regional issues. So I'm sitting here watching these competitors, seven of them. Some of them were PhD-level professors of chemical engineering and so forth, presenting their very detailed proposals, and others are businessmen. And then these three university students show up, and they have what I thought was, and as Dan himself described, is a very straightforward solution to a clear problem. I do want to go ahead and mention that the University of Arkansas does make a strong effort to reclaim furniture and stuff, but it's voluntary. And as everybody agrees, including Mr. Christopher Spencer with the university, collecting all this stuff is a huge task. I mean, we're talking about a couple of hundred tons of usable stuff, ranging from shower caddies and throw pillows to couches, all of which is reusable. Anyway, so that's how it was presented to me at that competition, which was on April the 21st, if I remember correctly. And I thought it was an interesting idea.
All right. So, Stacy and James, where did you guys hit upon this idea that this could be a business it could be a recycling business?
So the idea definitely came from seeing a lot of waste on campus, especially our first year as university students. Because on-campus housing, while there's definitely like a great effort to have donation sites and donation kind of like boxes to send to campus partners, places like Potter's House and Salvation Army, there's also definitely a push towards like students that just don't really understand to donate them, or definitely some items that places don't take that we were looking at and kind of deciding, hey, this is a huge problem for waste on campus, so let's find a solution.
Okay. And we're not talking about just furniture. It's also furnishings, things that students would have in a dorm room or an apartment during the year, but might not be able to transport home once the school year's out, right?
Yeah, it's definitely these bigger items that students aren't looking to take back home that get tossed out that are really high value, things like TVs, couches, and other furniture. But there's also definitely decorations we're looking to take as well.
Okay. All right. And so you observed this as students, and that was and thought that you might have a better idea of how to dispose of that rather than just throwing it away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, Dan, give us a little insight. Go ahead.
No, please. Go ahead with Dan.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, Dan, give us a little insight into the grant program and what you and the council are doing on the recycling front.
Yeah. So, for about 2 years now, I've been overseeing this program with the council to try to help all the different recycling programs and operations around the region improve, you know, in various ways, and also just continue growing and reaching more people. Through that, one of my tasks has been to organize what we call stakeholder sessions every couple months to dive into some particular topic like glass recycling or the contracts that cities have with their waste haulers and how those could be better. And for this one, I wanted to dive into entrepreneurship because business, local businesses and big businesses and corporations are really essential to recycling happening. You know, a lot of the cities and the solid waste districts and other local governments run really great recycling programs that do a lot of good. And then it's business that kind of takes it from there and actually gets the material into a new sort of use. And some of those businesses are local, just startups and small businesses around here. So I wanted to kind of highlight the ones that have jumped into this space, helping with things like organics composting, and getting glass, you know, to a good location for it to be recycled and things like that. And I also wanted to try to inspire others to follow their lead or help them do so when they are already wanting to. And so that's where the pitch competition side of it came in.
Okay, and so these students brought their idea to the contest. And what was it about their idea that caught the attention of you and the evaluators?
Well, kind of like Doug mentioned, it's just very straightforward, and you know, there's no factory to build, there's no new technology to invent. It just takes someone to actually focus on it and put in the effort and make it happen. Something else I really like about it. So recycling, just broadly speaking, has three basic components. You know, you need a way to collect or gather some material or some object. You need a way to get that where it needs to go. And then you need someone to take it off your hands, however you can provide it. And, a lot of times a business in recycling will fill one of those roles. Like there's kind of a missing link in the chain, and once someone steps in, it can all start happening, and something can be recycled. But when it comes to this particular situation, you know, someone needs to come in with the whole chain in place, you know, a way to gather, a way to get it where it needs to go, someone who will take it off their hands, and this idea kind of had the whole package to it. So I really like that.
Okay, Go ahead, Doug.
Just to interject quickly, this process isn't cheap, and we can get to it later in the talk, but Stacy gave a real good explanation when I interviewed her about the expenses involved. Go ahead, Rusty.
Well, and that's where I was going. I was going to have Stacy and James talk to us a little bit about, you know, this is more than just, hey, we're going to go around and pick up some stuff, and then we're going to fix it up, and then we're going to sell it. I mean, it was a very detailed process. So tell me a little bit about that and what kind of research went into figuring out how to make this a viable, potentially viable business.
Yeah, so I would say the vast majority of the work we've had on this project has been just like the initial discovery process. And so we have gone around and surveyed students. We've interviewed local recyclers and just used the available data online. We talked to university staff, try to figure out exactly what the issue is, because initially what we thought was the problem was just that students weren't donating things. And although that is part of the problem, the issue is that there's so much volume that the university isn't able to handle it with its current program. And so that's where we kind of figured out that there is definitely a need for this, but kind of different to what we were, for reasons different than we were initially thinking. And, you know, just throughout our discovery process, we also found out really important aspect to the business idea, which was that this only works at scale, and couldn't explain why some people haven't taken on this type of project. And so that's where we have a, that's why we explain we have a huge projected initial cost, but after that we see the profit margins being high enough to make this a sustainable business.
Yeah, and to kind of add on to that, we've also definitely done interviews with like places around campus, like Free Geek, and they've definitely found that like there's a lot of donations, but the issue is kind of training people and getting the labor necessary to really have people like know how to refurbish this, know how to fix things up, or at the very least, like know how to divert it to you know, recyclers around the University of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. So, and as I recall from the story, was that part of your plan was to, you know, was to be able to collect the stuff and then get it to a place where it could be reclaimed, whether that's work that you're, that your company would do or some other recycle would do, and then get it redistributed back out by selling it to maybe incoming students or somebody else who's looking for that kind of thing. Is that a fair description?
Yeah. We showed throughout kind of our process is figuring out, you know, taking these items, figuring out if it's something that's going to have potential through what we specialize in, or if it's, you know, for example, electronics or just a different wheelhouse, so that's something that we would divert to partners. And then, but if it's something that we think that we can make a money off of or has potential through our process, then that's where our plan is to move it to like a small industrial workshop. And once that becomes resellable, resell it to incoming freshmen right when they're moving in through pop-up shops, which is something super mobile that students have easy access to on campus. And then also start our own website where we know students are more open to, you know, social media advertising and online sales.
Right. All right. And as I recall from Doug's story, this, you know, to do this right, it's not inexpensive at all. It would take quite a bit of investment to get started. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, the numbers that, of course, these are projected financials, but based off of the research we have done, we estimate that our initial startup cost would be around $320,000. And we don't expect to break even from that until our third year. But by our fifth year, we expect to have at least like $250,000 in profit. So it's not something that, you know, you can just start from your garage. It's something that, like we mentioned before, there's so much volume that you need to pass through in order to be able to start making a profit.
Yeah. So, and talk a little bit about exactly the kinds of things. You mentioned, you know, electronics would be a path or something you could pick up and then hand off to a partner. But, you know, what are the kinds of things that you would look for to pick up, reclaim or improve yourself and then sell? What? Give me some examples.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many little items that we could handle that don't really need much refurbishing. But our main focus would probably be like furniture, because, I mean, you think of a table or a desk or a chair or something like that. Two semesters of use is not going to render it useless enough to go to the landfill, and that's something that we can easily refurbish. Things like lamps, and there's a lot of even decor and things like that that obviously have use beyond the two semesters that students typically use it, and so we see that those items serving another set of students. But yeah, our main focus would be furniture, but there's other stuff like decorations and smaller items that could be reused.
Right. So, Dan, I know the winner of this recycling grant was a business that was, I think Doug mentioned that it was in his story that, you know, they extract fuel and other chemicals from food waste, which, you know, seems like a highly technical process. This proposal is decidedly low tech. It's more about, you know, elbow grease and opportunity and that sort of thing than something high tech. Is that what drew the attention of you and the judges on this grant proposal?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, one thing the judges liked about it was that it's replicable, it's scalable. You know, once you get it rolling, you can pop it up in universities all over the place and other settings. So that is, I mean, and like I was saying, that's all it takes for a lot of recycling to happen. You know, there are a lot of materials around here that we can't recycle. Sometimes it's because of volume and our population size and things like that we can't help yet. But other times it's just getting a system in place and people and partners in place and figuring out a real straightforward and simple method of doing it. You know, other regions have programs that can recycle mattresses, for example, and all it really takes is just tearing them apart and getting the fabric and the wood frames can be for lumber and the wood and the metal springs is steel that can be easily recycled. And so it just takes someone who will take all those mattresses and have a workforce to take them apart and then somewhere to send them along. There's a similar setup with shingles in a lot of regions where shingles can just be chopped up and melted down and reused for an ingredient in asphalt, for example. So recycling and successful and impactful and helpful recycling doesn't require, you know, millions of dollars and new inventions and new technologies. Sometimes it does, but not necessarily. Sometimes it's just as simple as getting the right people in place.
Yeah. So to the bandits, the students, what's next for you? Are you actively looking for investors or looking for partners to help you get started?
I think right now we are still working on our discovery process. There's a lot of data that we would like to have before we, you know, would take on any investors. Specifically, there's a lot of data we're missing on, like, how many actual furniture items are coming through, what are the opportunities on campus compared to the apartments that are right outside of campus. Could we start this in a smaller university to have it as a proof of concept before we jump into it? And so that's something that we would, of course, like to collect data on maybe next summer or this upcoming summer before we start to do any of that. But I don't know if you can
add that. There's definitely a lot of interest with campus partners. The Northwest Arkansas Council competition was a really great opportunity to kind of see these established recyclers that are really interested in this type of, like, diversion process. Places like ESCO and Waste Management, and some people there that were from other universities that were interested in, like, hey, this is really replicable, it was really growable in these other places, and kind of seeing that the university itself likes pop-up markets a lot because you don't really need this permanent space. You can just have these, like, tables and these tents set up that are really convenient for students that provide a service that was of interest to our project.
I see. So you're collecting more information with the goal of eventually trying to take this to market. Is that right?
Yeah. There's definitely a lack of national information about this because obviously, with the amount of consumption of these types of goods, yet the, like, over and over process of needing to, like, take it out, buy move-outs from college. We definitely see that there's a lack of data, especially on exactly the type of items, but there's definitely, like, a huge amount of tons of waste generated at the end of the school year that universities try to really combat with diversion.
I see. Well, it sounds like a cool idea. Before I go, Stacy and James, tell me where you are in school. What class are you in?
Oh, I'm a sophomore.
So you're a rising sophomore. You're a sophomore now, will be a junior. Is that right?
Yep, that's right.
Okay. And James?
I'm a sophomore right now. I could graduate a year early, but I'm deciding to add a political science major as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And is Jen, Jen No, your other partner, is she also a sophomore, a rising, rising junior?
She's a senior. She's getting ready to graduate soon. So we're excited for her.
Yep. Well, that is very cool. Well, I hope she's still around. She's able to stay part of your organization here, because I think this is a really cool idea. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Doug?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Doug, any other takeaways you want to mention?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that ought to be mentioned here. First of all, landfill space in Northwest Arkansas is finite. There's only one landfill. It's in Taneytown, and a lot of residential areas have grown up around it. It's in the 42 years it's been in operation, and the neighbors of it, you know, frankly, are tired of it. I mean, I went and covered a state commission meeting on Friday where people were showing up objecting to another 12 acres being added to it for construction waste, the most innocuous, least smelly type of waste there is. So yeah, these sorts of things are getting more attention and should. The second thing I'd like to mention, you know, people, I'm no expert on what can be recycled and what cannot be. Okay, so if you're relying on me to volunteer, you know, what I'm leaving behind, what I'm going to drag to the recycling box or the gathering point, I don't know. I mean, quick true story, I was renovating a bathroom, and my wife and I were years and years ago, and I pulled out a light fixture that I thought was just junk. I literally left it on the curb for bulk waste pickup, and it didn't last 5 minutes. Somebody stopped their car, picked it up, and drove off with it. So, yeah, one of the advantages of this type of venture that the bandits want to do is they can look at something and see value in it where I couldn't. And, yeah, that's my story.
All right. Dan, how about you? Anything you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, I think we've about covered it. I mean, I'm just so glad that this team applied and was able to participate. There were other teams actually of university students who applied, and they had great ideas. I wish I could have let everybody compete. I just didn't have the time for it, but there was an idea for, you know, a textbook subscription service to reduce the waste that way. There was an idea to recycle bottles into like tree planters and to help, you know, reforest Fayetteville and the surrounding area. So I just want to give a shout out to everyone who applied, even if they couldn't participate. There were so many really great, workable and beneficial ideas, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do this all again.
All right. Well, thank you all for visiting with us about it. It sounds like a really cool idea. So I wish you, Stacy and James, I wish you both the best. And I want to thank my guests, Stacy Lopez and James Jovicic, who are students at the University of Arkansas, who have a great idea for a recycling business for taking abandoned furniture left around in dorms at universities and repurposing it and getting it and redistributing it. So best of luck with your business, Stacy and James.
No, thank you so much for the opportunity and the interest in the project, and hopefully we're able to make an impact.
All right.
Thank you all so much.
All right. And I also want to thank Dan Holmeyer. He's the Recycling Program Manager for the Northwest Arkansas Council, who also visited with us today. Thank you, Dan.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. I also want to say thanks to Doug Thompson, whose story about the Bandits Recycling Proposal will appear in this weekend's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. And on our website, so you can see them there. Doug, always a pleasure. Thanks for your help.
Thank you.
There's plenty of other great content coming your way in this weekend's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Let me take a few minutes to tell you about some of those stories. Ron Wood tells us how regional planners are joining with others in rejecting the century-old notion that traffic crashes are accidents, events no one can fully predict or prevent. Lorinda Jinks has a story about the farm-to-table movement and the new market center in Springdale. How does the focus on consuming locally sourced food affect restaurants, nutritionists, and even school lunches? We'll find out. A group of Northwest Arkansas Community College leaders recently visited Iowa Western Community College to observe its athletics program and see if there are any ideas they can bring back home to Bentonville. Al Gaspany will report. Mike Jones has the scoop on a skate park planned for Bentonville's 8th Street Gateway Park. Meet Shannon Jimenez, who has been appointed as the new dean of the Arkansas College of Osteopathic Medicine. Monica Brick tells us more. Kids in Greenwood may have a new place to cool off on a hot summer day as the city looks to build a splash pad at Bell Park. All of this and much more will be in the weekend editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Subscribers will have access to it all by going to our websites, nwaonline.com or rivervalleydemocratgazette.com, or by logging on to our smartphone and tablet apps. Podcast listeners who aren't subscribers can get a great deal to sign up by going to nwaonline.com/podcast23. Know the News is a weekly podcast produced by the newsrooms of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. There's a new edition every Friday. And be sure to join us next week for a special edition of Know the News, where we'll take a look back at the last 40 years in journalism in this region. This is your host, Rusty Turner, saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.